You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
I'm using the coffee to warm my hands.
It's a little chilly out here.
It is. It's nice, but it's like, it's a little chilly.
Yeah.
And so, but I'll take it because it's not super freezing and it's not 105.
You know, we here at Known Legacy Podcast, we are a mobile podcasting team. And so whether it be a cigar shop or the backyard, we can podcast wherever.
And if you have good Wi-Fi, we'll just come to your house.
We'd be more than happy.
We'd be more than happy. So cool.
Anyways, hey, welcome. Thank you guys for checking out Known Legacy Podcast. We're so happy you're here. I'm Travis. Over there,
that's
Bill. And info at knownlegacy.org. If you want to email us, you can find us at knownlegacy.org for info on Bill's book. If you want to book Bill for coming out to talk to your business or talk to your church, men's ministry, whatever, he's extremely gifted at that. And as always, follow us online, Facebook, Instagram, and we'd love to have you on YouTube and Rumble as well. Check out the videos.
Yes, yes. Thanks for following. Thanks for subscribing. It's been fun watching our viewers continue to grow and things like that.
And so, as always, man, if it's meaningful to you and you feel so inclined, please share it. And if you want to give a review, we'd love that as well. So that
absolutely
always helps. So
sounds good. Great.
All right. So the question today, as we kind of get things going, I know it's chilly here. It's beginning of March, but just around the corner is going to be summertime. And the feelings, I lost it. I totally lost it. You don't have to laugh so
you
hard,
were rolling,
Kyle.
You were rolling good. I was thinking,
I was
like,
hoping you would join in.
I was so, like, I was kind of going
done.
Like, summer breeze.
Yeah, that was a different song.
I couldn't catch that one. First off, I can't sing that high right now.
I don't know why I hit that note, but every so often the sun shines.
Anyways, what's your summer plans, man? If you got summer plans coming up, what's your summer plans?
My summer plans, I don't know. Because it's weird, like, I think while we're going to New York for a little bit, so go to there, I get to actually baptize my niece this summer.
That's awesome.
But yeah, a little bit of travel impossible overseas, but not sure, so still praying through that. So we'll see what God does, but that's kind of where I've got so far.
When you get to New York, is there some place in the city that you have to go, or do you even go to the city?
Well, I mean, you know, New York is the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
That's true.
We do want to check out a Broadway show. I think probably that. We do want to do that as the family. And New York, normally, I mean, because we're in upstate, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Even in the summer, it's like nice. So if I could do that, maybe just go check out some of the different locations. We haven't been. I'm kind of a history buff now.
Yeah.
And I used to live in Saratoga, New York, which is actually the Saratoga battlefield, which is where, fun fact for you.
You can tell Bill's over 40 because
like,
he's now into
I'm
history.
I'm now in like history and something like that. Benedict Arnold was actually a hero there before he was a traitor.
Really?
Yeah, he turned the French and Indian War at the Battle of Saratoga. So,
interesting.
Yeah, fun fact for you. So yeah, so I'll probably do some of that. What about you?
You? Man, you know, we have our final trip up to Arcadia, Michigan. Has the dean been doing that over 20 years at the camp?
Wow.
And this will be the final year, which is going to
so
be
you started
bittersweet.
That when you were like 16?
Yes. Yes. No, it's going to be great. And then I don't know. Oh, we booked a house on the river, the Frio River, for my wife's family and I and our family to get together and just frolic and have fun. And yeah,
that'll be fun, man.
I think
get
it'll
together
be a great time.
And hang out.
Kyle, how about you? What's your summer plans?
So I think we're going to spend a decade. We're going to try to go to Atlantis in the Bahamas.
Oh, that's
hit
fun.
Hit the poop deck.
I don't even want to know what that is.
Oh, no. It's the best restaurant there.
Oh.
Literally, you walk in.
The stuff tastes like crap or no?
No. It's a poop deck.
Dad jokes brought to you by Known Legacy.
They have a chalkboard. They catch everything fresh every day, and they just put up what they have, and when it's gone, they just erase it.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be fantastic.
Like fresh catch.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Well, for our guest, we have John Lowry from the band Unspoken, the bass player. Thank you so much, John, for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
Man, so what about you? What's your summer plans this year? You have anything going on?
Summer, I feel like, kind of slows down a little bit for us. Spring and fall are super busy with touring.
Yeah.
And I guess if people don't know, I play in a band called Unspoken.
Yes.
I've been with them for the past 20-something years.
That's crazy.
So summer kind of slows down a little bit. we'll go around and do a few festivals and stuff like that. But as we're in our 40s now, some of the guys may be in their 50s. I won't say who.
Not pointing any fingers, feel... Chad.
No, Chad isn't. But
no, but one of them has like... an AARP card, I'm pretty certain. So.
Yes, and grandkids. But we'll, you know, so we like to play those hot summer festivals less and less now.
Yes, fair.
So we'll probably get a little bit of time off, and I would like to get up back up to my home state of Maine.
Yes.
To kind of see the families and get my kids and their cousins together. We haven't been up there for a couple of years, so we'll see if that happens.
Man, that's so. Question: so when I was growing up in Rockford, Illinois, most corrupt town in a most corrupt state, there was a festival, a summer fest out there called Cornerstone, I think it was.
Yeah, Cornerstone.
Yeah, Cornerstone by the Jesus people. And I went there two summers in a row, and it always rained, man. The worst storms always hit while we were there. But I remember seeing some, like, some phenomenal, like, it really was formative to me to see, like, oh, this is a whole cottage industry of, you know, Christian music, and it introduced me to some great bands like the 77s and the Choir, and it just phenomenal old school stuff. Like for
the
you,
Imperials, like, I mean, like, you're throwing out really old words.
Is that where Res Band came from?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a deep pull. Yeah. Kyle, the producer for the
Memory
deep pull.
Lane walk down.
So for you, what's like a summer festival that you still look back and you're like, even though it was hot or it was brutal or whatever, man, that was just a really phenomenal experience for me or for the band. That was a great summer festival.
I mean, there was only one festival that got close to us, and that was Soulfest.
Yes,
Inside Out Soul Fest,
New Hampshire. Yeah, so we would. That was really one of my. I mean, my first introduction to Christian music was through my parents. I'm a pastor's kid, so you know, it was Michael W. Smith. And, yes. Well, my dad. I mean, he had all these old records and Dion and Love Song and
Steve Green,
and the Disciples.
Steve
oh yeah,
Green.
Keith Green,
Second and, Chapter of Acts.
Yeah. So, you know, he still has all that on vinyl and,
original vinyl, not like the redone vinyl.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's first edition.
So were you an Amy Grant or a Sandy Patty kind of guy? you don't have to answer that.
I mean,
that's purely a joke.
Yeah. You know, I was probably neither, but you know, if I had to pick one, maybe Amy Grant.
Good call. What about as a band, as performers? Like, you guys have had to play some of those great, you know, summer festivals and stuff like that. And I'm sure some of them were just train wrecks behind the scenes. But what was one that you as the band were just like, man, this was a great one to play, and we're so happy, and it felt like the community really resonated with the message and what you guys were trying to accomplish there?
I'm trying to remember what is the name of the one in Pennsylvania? Creation Fest.
Yeah,
that was and I don't know, is that still happening?
I think most of those festivals have gone.
Most of them, ever since COVID, a lot of them shut down because they're just like, the finances are just not there anymore.
So, yeah, so there was, I remember playing that one kind of earlier in our career, and you know, it was probably the biggest crowd we'd played in front of at that point. And of course it was the middle of the day and stuff, so it wasn't a ton of people, but it was still thousands of people.
Fun.
I will say one other super memorable one, for not necessarily the best of reasons, was at Soulfest, and we were in the middle of our set. And if you've ever been there, like, the stage is facing out, and there's like a ski lift that goes up kind of next to the stage that people will ride up and go to the top of the mountain, and, you know, there's a stage up there too. Well, anyway, we're in the middle of our set, and all of a sudden we look up, and there's a kid hanging from the ski lift, the chair. And so we were the first ones to see it, because we're like looking out, everybody else is facing us. And so we stop playing, and then people run over with like a blanket, and they're like, you know, stretch it out like the firemen from back in the day.
Yes.
Like, jump, kid, jump, let go. And he's
did he drop or no?
They stopped the lift, and he finally, he dropped, And the people totally missed him with the blanket, and he just fell. And thankfully, I mean, he was young and light and spry, and it was sort of a hill, so he kind of just hit and like rolled, and he was okay. But
oh my gosh, you
know, one of the more memorable.
We got you.
We've done.
No, we don't got you. Oh like,
man, somebody should have judged that trajectory a little.
Exactly.
Better.
We need a mathematician.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're laughing. Totally I'm sure someone off. Is listening to this is like, what horrible people you
Such
are.
Jerks.
Oh yeah,
so horrible.
Maybe out there listening, and you know,
if you're there, info at Known Legacy, we want to hear about your experience of dropping from the
and thinking you were going to be caught, only to come in contact with the ground.
Dude, I failed miserably. So, well, John, thank you so much. Hey, share a little bit about your journey, you know, in the band, as well as, like I wanted to say, like, you are a solo artist as well. So share a little bit about yourself and your story and kind of your walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Maine. My dad's a pastor up there, from Oregon. Actually, I was born in Oregon. But when I was about 3 years old, my dad felt called to be a pastor. He'd gotten saved actually at a Christian concert. I think it was a Andre Crouch and the Disciples maybe concert. And there was an opening band there, and he had gotten saved through that. And so he'd started going to church, and eventually had asked his pastor, I feel like I need to be a pastor. And where do they need pastors? And he said, well, I know the East Coast needs pastors.
Amen.
And so when I was three, he packed up a whole family, you know, me, my two sisters, my brother wasn't born yet. And, you know, he drove the Ryder truck across the country with my grandfather, and we flew and, started, there was a little church plant up in Ellsworth, Maine. And so he, started pastoring up there. He's still there.
Wow. Fantastic.
39 years later. So
that's rare. That's, you know, super rare.
Yeah. Super rare to be in one church that long.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of, you know, it's a special thing, special place, and good people. You know, so I grew up a pastor's kid, kind of sheltered, and, obviously up in Maine, you know, everything's a little bit, probably behind the rest of the country as far as technology and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We you know, didn't have a TV until I was probably a teenager. And
wow.
I remember going to church. We'd rent like a VHS tape if we wanted to have like a family movie night, and we'd drive to the church to watch it on like the church TV.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of sort of like Laura Ingalls, Little House in the Big Woods moments of like when we first moved there, obviously coming from Oregon to Maine, and the culture shock and the weather shock too, moving into this house that didn't have insulation, you know, and being poor pastors. So we would literally heat bricks up in front of the wood stove at night and then wrap them in a towel and take them to bed with us to stay warm. And then, you know, put like 10 blankets over us, and you'd see your breath coming out. And
are you serious? I never knew this about you and your journey. Wow. Wow.
So that was kind of my childhood of, you know, as a kid, it's great. You know, you don't know anything different. And
yeah.
But I suppose it sort of prepared me for the roughing it life that was to be my career with Unspoken years later.
Yeah.
The sleeping on people's basement floors and, you know, six of us to a hotel room and sleeping bags and stuff like that.
The glamour of music industry. That's the glamour right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first decade and a half. Yeah. But I think as far as my faith journey, you know, I from a very early age, it was, you know, my parents would say, yeah, you said the sinner's prayer when you were 2 years old or 4 years, you know, like as soon as you could talk. But I don't think, you know, there's stages, I think, of realization and understanding in who God is, who Jesus is. So I don't think I really came to a full, I mean, obviously we won't ever come to a full understanding until we are with Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know, the understanding of what Christ had done for me really came probably in my teenage years. And I remember reading a book that really changed everything for me by Pastor Tim Keller, where he talks about the story of the prodigal sons, or the prodigal son is really the story of the prodigal sons. It's the two sons.
Yeah.
The younger brother who, you know, I always heard about in Sunday school, you know, the bad guy who went off and did all the wrong things and then came back, and the father accepted him back. And I couldn't really relate to that story because I'd been a goody two shoes for the most part my whole life. And so when I heard that that story is it's not about the prodigal son. It's the title of the book is Prodigal God. It's about the extravagant nature of the father's love, and that there's two sons, that the younger and the elder, and the elder son is just as separated from the father as the younger son. You know, he stays home and does all the right things, but he's doing it resentfully. You know, you see that at the end of the story of he's like, I slaved away for you, and what have you given me? And, you know, the father has to come out to him as well and say, hey, come into the party. Your son's return. Let's celebrate. And he's so resentful that he, it, you know, the story ends. You don't know. Does he come in? Does he not? And I realize, oh my goodness, like I've been the elder brother in this story my whole life, feeling like I'm, you know, I'm going to do all the right things for God. And, you know, and he owes me now.
Right.
That's interesting. You know, so I know you've traveled to a lot of churches and you've met a ton of people, but man, it's funny because we always focus on the prodigal, on the, you know, like the one that we define as the prodigal and not the faithful, whatever. But man, it feels like there's a lot more of the, I've not really been that guy. Here's my testimony. Even when I was younger,
right,
you know, in my testimony, I always tried to like beef it up to make it sound worse. You know what I'm saying? Like as I would go, and then I was, you know, and I did this and, but man, do you find that there's a lot of people that are like, man, I'm just kind of been faithful, but it's not that exciting. I mean, are you like speaking a little bit, have you met a lot of people who kind of resonate with that a little more on your journey than you do on the other one?
I think so. And obviously, we play a lot of recovery centers. We've gone into prison and stuff. So we've played for a lot of these settings where it is sort of like we're playing for a bunch of people that would quote unquote be prodigals.
Be the prodigal, yeah.
But we've played so many churches too where it's, you know, you can see that story does resonate of, oh my goodness, you know, I need the saving work of Christ just as much as anyone else, despite my, you know, quote unquote good record. In fact, there's a, you know, the story of, I can't think where it is now in the Gospels, but where Jesus is talking about, you know, he who loves much, or he who's been forgiven much loves much.
Yes.
He who's been forgiven little loves little. And I remember hearing that, like growing up and being like, well, I guess I'll just, you know, I'll never love God as much as those people that have like that amazing testimony of forgiveness. And then realizing that it's not the, we've all been forgiven of the same amount, you know, it's like the extravagant grace of God. What we would view as horrible or, you know, sin is sin.
Right.
It condemns all of us. And so it's not like what we've been forgiven of, but it's our realization of how much we've been forgiven of.
Well, and I'm sorry for cutting you off. I apologize. But I love that that whole story, because I feel like sometimes in the church we can fall into the lie that proximity is relationship. And because I go to the right places and I'm hanging out with the right people, that somehow that's enough. And Jesus says, dude, there's a lot of people that come up to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things I did. And he's like, but I didn't know you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the father and the older son of like, dude, you're living in my house, but I don't even know you because there's no relationship there. Like, you're doing all the right stuff, but there's no relate. And that's what the father heart's desires more than everything is, not just obedience, but it's like, man, I just want to know you. I want to be in this relationship with you.
Yeah.
And that's the reality that the younger son came to of like, man, if I can just be in relationship with my dad back in the house, even if I'm a servant, I prefer that over this hanging out with the pigs. And the older son who had the proximity never invest in that relationship. I think that's a huge insight that we really wrestle with. I wrestle with even today as a pastor within the church is maintaining that relationship. And isn't that what Jesus, John wrote to the church in Ephesus, man? You're doing a bunch of great stuff, but the one thing you forgot is
your first love.
It's relationship stuff.
Well, there's a reason Jesus said the pimps and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of heaven before you, you know, because they're the ones that realize, you know, it just, the ones that haven't done what we would consider bad, it takes longer for them to realize.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. You know. I feel like there's a song title in there somewhere for the pimps and the prostitutes. The pimps
and the prostitutes. There you go.
That works. That's positive and encouraging.
That works. You know, it's that'll work on CCM right now really well. So, but no, it makes me also think of Martha and Mary.
Yes.
And that dynamic of Martha was working, and then Mary was like, I'm going to be at your feet. And she's like, she literally yells at Jesus, like, tell her to get up. I mean, what the heck? Like,
do stuff.
I'm doing it. Yeah. And he's like, she picked the good thing. And so I do love that reality that regardless of which side of the prodigal line you fall on, it's the getting to know Jesus. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Because it is not, it's not a prescriptive thing. It's not like, well, in 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to feel this. You know, it's very
not a
different
list you can follow. And
there's so many illustrations with like just marriage and the fact that like every marriage is unique, but every marriage is a pursuit of a relationship and serving each other and you know, continually mining that. I would love to know from you, like being on the road and being in the spotlight can sometimes be very difficult. How do you maintain and pursue that relationship aspect of your faith and not just become performative and playing the part? Because you know probably better than anyone else what the mainstream Christian wants, right? But at the end of the day, you still got to sit down and you still got to maintain and invest in that relationship with Jesus even beyond your performance. So I would love to know what that looks like for you.
I think it probably seems like it would be different for me than for anybody else, but I think it's the same thing as for anybody. And it's really just, it's an investment of time is the big thing in any relationship, really. And so on the road, I think one of the big things is like just getting that time alone to pray and meditate and read. And then we do, you know, in some ways it's almost advantageous to be on the road because at that point we are like a traveling church. You know, I've got my brothers around me who, you know, and Bill, you've been out with us before. So, you know, we sit down kind of before every show and we'll have sort of a little devotional time of like, hey, what have you guys been reading? What anything stand out this week? Or, and so I think, I don't think it's different for me than for anybody.
Yeah.
Time.
No, I think it's good, but it also keeps the bar. And when I mean low in a good way of like, it's easy for everybody, like just spend time with him. Like if you're out there right now and you're feeling like, man, what? I feel like I'm distant from the Father. Well, then just stop and spend time and just make a point to say, God, I just want to hear from you today. Very simple. I think that's it. It's that whole Mary mentality of like, man, I'm just going to sit at your feet. I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to take time and I'm going to invest time into you. Cause it isn't just like this little bit of time. Sometimes just being alone and trying to hear his voice.
Right.
You know? So I love it. Well, John, share a little bit about your kind of music, songwriting. I mean, you've written a bunch of songs with Unspoken. I know that you have co-written a bunch of songs. I would say the better writer on the album. That's just me. I can say that boldly because he's not on right now. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, you've written a bunch of the Unspoken's hits as well as some other things. But then you're also a solo writer. So share a little bit about your songwriting journey and you as a solo artist.
The songwriting is always difficult. It's definitely work, and I think that's something that I had to learn, especially when we moved to Nashville. I mean, at that point, we'd written maybe 10 songs, and those were the songs that we, you know, we'd recorded. Those were the songs that we played along with cover songs, because we only wrote when we were inspired to write. And if you wait for inspiration to come, you know, it's not going to come very often.
That's true.
You've got to go out hunting for it. You know, I think there's things you can do to help inspire inspiration. And when we came to town, I remember we sat down with a big writer in Christian music named Tony Wood. I mean, he's got, I don't know, over 20 like number one hits or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And on his door, he had a sign that said, songwriting is 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. And we were just shocked, you know, because the only thing we'd ever done is, oh, I got this great idea and it's just flowing out naturally. Well, let's put it down. That's our song. And to sit down with him and like, he's like, oh yeah, I write 5 days a week, usually two sessions a day. So, you know, that's, you know, at least 12 songs a week usually come out of it. And we're like, what?
Wow.
So the work aspect of writing, I think, was something that was really important to learn. That you have to sit down. You're always keeping your ears open, and you're always getting little tidbits of inspiration. And my phone is full of those little voice notes of, hey, what, this idea at 3 a.m, humming it into my phone, trying not to wake anybody up. Or, you know, a little lyric idea or something from a sermon or something that I've read in the scripture that's inspiring me. But then you have to sit down with that little piece of inspiration and actually work out for the next, you know, 6 hours or whatever. What does this look like? I remember when we wrote like our song Reason, which was one of the biggest songs that we've written. That was, we all came in with kind of that title, but we had three different angles that we were thinking, oh, here's the angle that we're going to write it from. I remember I had the idea of, I don't need a reason to praise you. Like you are the reason enough or whatever. And then Chad had come at it from the angle of, you don't need a reason to love me. You just love me. And there was like another angle. Anyway, so we had to sit down and hash out, well, we've got this, this title that we think could be a good song, but yeah, which angle do we come at it from? And then we wrote that chorus, which originally it was, you give me a reason to keep on believing. And then we listened to it for a couple days and we're like, it just doesn't like hit. Like he gives us a reason, but what is the reason?
Yeah.
And then we had to figure out, oh, well, his love is the reason to keep on believing. You know, it's stuff like that, that you think, yeah, oh, well, it's obvious, but it just takes time and work to actually get there.
And then we just put on the radio and we're like, oh, it's okay, it's good. You know, like we don't even think about all the hours. Like, I mean, how many songs do you write for an album now compared to when you said you wrote 10 in your first album? But then how many songs do you write now to prepare for an album?
Yeah, well, on our first record, I think we probably had well over 100. And then maybe our batting average got a little bit better and we had like 60 written for the next album and 60 for the next one. And then the last one that we put out for, we had probably 80.
Wow.
And that one took us, I mean, we spent 4 years writing for that record. So I hated it by the end of it. I was I just want to be done with this.
Well, and you know what's so funny is like going back to the original conversation about the prodigal son, in relationships in general, I think so many of us, so many times, like we approach relationships like sometimes songwriters will approach it and saying, I need inspiration. I need to feel this love. I need to feel this connection. When the reality is marriage, man, is more often than not, it's just a grind. And it's just continual investment in the process and continual investment of like, you know, you know,
it's not always romantic.
Yes, right. It's not. Is there a song that you love that never made it to one of the albums?
Those are probably the ones that I've put out myself.
Nice.
The workaround. So I'll write a lot just by myself too. And that's probably more like the therapeutic writing.
Yeah.
There's actually one that I wrote that, I feel like kind of ties into what we were talking about. And I haven't released it yet, but I want to. And, it's called
You're hearing it first here, people.
But it's called the 99, and it's the idea of like that Jesus, we always talk about Jesus leaves the 99 to find the one, but he also leaves that one to find the 99, like the people that are in the fold. They think they're in the fold, but they're not really. Like, he still will go looking for the 90. So anyway, so it was sort of a flip on its head, you know, the country really music good. Play on words type of thing.
That's really good. You should do this for a career.
Yeah. I know. Yeah,
you should. Really good. You should. I don't know what you do on your day job, but you should do this for a career. That's really good. That's really good.
But again, it goes back to the prodigal, the other prodigal.
Yeah.
That you're like, right. Oh, that no one thinks about. So, I love it. Yeah. I love it, man. So now you've got some solo music, and where can people find that?
They can just find it under my name, John Lowry. It's John with no H.
Yep. JONLOWRY.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And do you have a website or is it just on Spotify? Where can they find you?
Yeah, Spotify or Amazon or Apple Music, anywhere they stream music, they can find it. YouTube. But I do have a website that I don't really maintain. It basically just has links to all the other things.
It's MySpace. It's MySpace.
JohnLowry.com. Yeah, it's MySpace.
Perfect. We will put that in the link at the bottom as well for people to find it.
Yes. I'm one of the guys getting the AARP stuff. I'll admit it.
I learned to like code in HTML and stuff was because of MySpace. Remember how you used to be able to like do the skins and everything?
Your top eight friends on there. So. That's wild.
I'm really happy that died.
Me too.
Happy it did.
Oh man, that's crazy. Well, dude, yeah, I love in this story because I do feel like this speaks into the heart of so many people who are on the other side of the I don't have the drugs, alcohol, and the walking away from God kind of testimony, but God still desires your heart in a very authentic way. And so I love you sharing that, man. Any final thoughts about that before we jump into our final segment? Any final thoughts you want to share about that or your journey with music or anything else?
There's probably nothing that stands out to me that needs to be said on top of that. I think we've said most of it. Obviously, it's a long journey. So, you know, I think, it's something that you can't rush. And I guess there's one quote by C.S. Lewis that he's when he said, when I came to Christ, I realized I didn't just have to repent of like my sins, but I also had to repent of my good deeds as well.
Oh,
because my good deeds were done, it's filthy rags. And so I think that really speaks to it as well.
There's always like a mic drop somewhere in this and you just get it in every time. That was really good.
Well, again, anytime you quote C.S. Lewis, it's a mic drop. So.
It pretty much is. That's really good. And so,
and I love how he slow played it. He's like, I got nothing, but you know, maybe I'll just throw this little nugget out there and it's a 30-pound brick of gold. Right,
I know.
There.
I'm like, good gracious. We love it. Love it, man. Well, dude. So as we finish up, we have a segment called Fast Five.
Oh.
I hate that sound effect.
I love it. It's my favorite. I look forward to it every time. There it is. I got it twice today. It's so that's good.
Like, looking for a new co-host at knownlegacy.org. Info, if you'd like to put your application in.
You certainly can. You certainly can. I will be the other 99, I guess. So, John, quick question. Number one, who do you most admire and why?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty easy and obvious to say my dad. He's been the example throughout my life of a man who has just been faithful to God and faithful to his family and faithful to what God's called him to. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, I could pick also other like old dead guys like C.S. Lewis and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it comes back to my dad.
There's another song, my dad and other old dead guys.
Yeah.
Oh man.
My old pastor always used to say like the best people to read are old dead guys.
So, yeah.
And I agree.
It's true.
Usually
it's
British
true.
Old dead guys.
Yes, yes, yes. The British helps quite a bit. So,
yeah.
All right. Number two, where would you like to go for a vacation?
Oh, okay. Vorrei andare in Italia.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. So, and actually, that means I'd like to go to Italy. And we are actually going in May.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, that sounds like a summer plan. You should have thrown that out there in the beginning. Summer.
Well,
plan.
It's sort of a spring plan.
Yeah, I know. But
I love the fact that you're inviting us to go with you and podcast your entire trip to Italy. That is your generosity continues to just amaze
us.
It's
pretty
Thank
amazing.
You.
So just send us the dates and we're good.
Okay.
So it sounds like a plan. Awesome. Number three, what are you currently reading right now? Bible or anything else?
So I've got a couple of things going right now. I've been reading, Dostoevsky's, The Brothers Karamazov, which is, it's a long read. It's
like
really
my
good,
IQ just dropped because you said that. I don't even know. Wow.
That's an old dead Russian dude, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, exactly. And he had a fascinating life. But he's a Christian. The book, I mean, my main inspiration is because I wrote a song, basically it was, called The Right Side of History. And it was based off of a quote that I heard out of the book and I'd never read the book. So I was like, I've got to read the book. But Fair. It's like I'm reading the Bible, you know, it's taken me like 2 years to, I'm about
wow.
3/4 of the way through now. So the end is in sight, but it's a slog.
Nice, nice.
And so, yeah. So that's like the smart read, and I'm kind of breaking that up with some other stuff.
Nice.
I'm reading right now a book called The Myth Makers, and it's almost like a graphic novel based off of the friendship of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and the Inklings and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's a really fun read, and it just kind of talks about like the history of myth. And
I need
how
to look that up. I got to find a fun
read. Yeah, it's
read.
Really, actually, I've got it right here.
Yeah, you should find it, The Myth Makers.
Yeah, so it's like that, and the whole thing is like it's tons of information in there, but it's like all kind of written in like this graphic novel.
Oh, that's cool.
Style.
I need to check that out.
It's a really fun read.
Check that out. That looks fun.
By John Hendricks. And he's got Myth some makers. Other stuff too that I want to check out. He's got one on Bonhoeffer that
oh,
he did
yeah.
as well in the same style.
John, you are a pastor, man. I can tell just I know you play bass and you write songs, but you are a pastor's pastor. You're like reading
good.
All this deep, thick theology.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
You know, human culture, everything else. I love it.
So good. So good. Okay, cool. So number four, what is a goal you have for this year?
I want to write a book.
Really?
So I've been working on it, kind of since the new year. I'm writing a book. It's actually what I was working on before I got on with you guys.
That's awesome, dude.
So I don't know. I'm like 7 or so chapters in now,
awesome.
Which is I've never written in that long form before. So it's kind of something
arduous,
totally different. And
but it's fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, it can be overwhelming. And usually I'm like, my one comfort is that I'm like, well, I'm going to go back and edit and make all of this better, because I don't feel like I'm close to where I want it to be yet.
Edit. At least it's
I'm trying to get the bones down, and then I'll
good.
Go back.
Vomit it out and start from there. Yeah, that's kind of it. So
yeah,
that's awesome, man. Well, cool. So what's the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Wow. I mean, save the like deepest question for last. Probably don't eat yellow snow.
That's it.
That's a good one.
That's fantastic.
I like it. Word to the wise.
He's reading Russian oligarchy literature, and his best advice is don't eat yellow snow. This is fantastic.
I love it.
I mean, we already talked about a lot of great advice.
All the good things, yeah. You know. John, we've had a great time having you on, man. We are going to put your link in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Check out his music. John is a phenomenal songwriter and singer. He's got the bass tone of what's behind him, which is Johnny Cash. I love it. I love it. It's so, he's got such a low tone, and but man, loved having you on today. We need to have you on again, brother.
Yes, we do.
And thank you so much for your time, man. Any final thoughts, words, anything like that?
Man, I don't know. I think we covered it all. It was great to be on with you guys.
I just felt like the last time was a good mic drop. I must give it one more time. Throw it out there. So,
man, thank you so much. It has been an absolute joy. And I feel like we've scratched the surface of many things that we could mine
of
from
who
you.
John is.
And insights into culture and the wrestling of the church and the implications.
So much.
Yeah, when you guys are in town, if you have some time off, man, Bill would love to host us.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do it.
Bill would love to take you out to lunch, and I'll just tag
along. We will do it, man. So, well, dude, check out unspokenmusic.com for his latest dates, and then as well, johnlowry.com for his own personal music. You will be blessed by that music. John, thank
Absolutely.
You so much for being on today. Guys, thank you so much for checking us out today. Share it, like it, follow us. Any final thoughts, Travis?
Man, God bless you guys on the week ahead.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.